This podcast is brought to you by Condori, Murad, and Neeson Law Firm.
By George, the dream is alive.
GiantKiller.co and the By George Podcasting Network present the By George Podcast with Brian Lawrence and Chris Jones. The original George Mason basketball podcast.
They're on their feet. Here, heck out! Off the top of the backboard, no. Loose, Hancock, front court, Mason. Long face and point, George Mason.
Ho, 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 ho. Merry Christmas. Welcome to the By George Holiday Review. This is Chris of By George. I'm here with Brian. We're going to take a look back at what's happened this season thus far, take a look ahead at the upcoming schedule, and then also do some bits down the line with sort of what we want on our Christmas wish list.
Yeah, I mean, the holidays are setting in, and, you know, Jones, I think, you know, he owns a home now. He's, like, becoming, like, a man. You started setting up for Christmas in, like, November. Is that true?
I wanted to get ready like just around Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving fell a little late. So yeah, I put up the tree early. I put up the lights. So
ladies and gentlemen, we're festive. And you know, what's weird now is like it's kind of a break for us too because Mason hasn't played in a week and we still have another week to go.
Yeah, it's you know, I'm kind of itching for a game, but I'm also kind of like, eh, this is nice. I like, you know, I get to like get back into like caps and like football and other things. So now it's like a little break, but like once we come back, like we're going to be in the thick of it, you know?
And it's been an interesting Mason basketball season to start. You know, it's super fun to cover. We would always prefer this over like losing or starting the season 0-3. It's been a ton of fun. We haven't even had a podcast, you and I, since during the Cayman Island trip where you hopped on with Ron and I. So it's nice to talk to you again. Why don't we do a little kind of holiday season review?
Yeah, well, let's do like a quick immediate look back since we haven't discussed the last two games. And spoiler, the last two games kind of bombed. So it's like,
does it need to be discussed?
I mean, we can kind of like just, it was Jacksonville State. Like it was kind of ugly. They had a player get hot. I forgot his name already, who was like stroking threes. It could have been a bigger blowout. It wasn't, but we still won by seven. And
he
then
was
kind
of overweight. Like it shocked me that he was just stroking threes. Like he had like kind of a bigger build, wasn't too fast, and just got anywhere he needed to and hit all of his shots. It was wild.
Right. He was just insanely hot. But and then we went on to the American game. I guess the noteworthy bit from that game was probably the fact that it was like a glow out. What was the thing with the neon?
Yeah, it looked like, really cool.
Yeah, they had the black uniforms. Like that was amazing. Like it was
the black uniforms are the conversation. So let's just hit it. Do you like them or not?
Of course. I think it's it looks obviously like a lot like the Celtics black uniforms. And I'm thinking if we're doing sort of like a neon glow bit, it would have been also kind of neat if the green were like neon green. Like that would have been kind of weird too. But yeah. I definitely like the uniforms. And I think it just highlights how clean the uniforms are this year with that. I think the tightest part's like around the shorts, like that sort of like color around the lip of the shorts. Yep. I don't know. It looks fresh. And the black unis were obviously like a surprise to the team where the, you know, the team captured that in the video. So it was tight.
Some people wanted that trim to be gold, but then I think it looks too much like VCU. Like no. It's like that the green identifies us. But some people did, they commented on our tweet of the jerseys looking fresh and said they wished it was gold. And you know, I looked up like VCU's black and it's, that would be the jersey. So, you know, I think I'm all in. My only complaint about the jerseys this year is I feel like the numbers are a bit small. And something we kind of joke about when we see, like, oversized numbers on jerseys. Just kind of look at the back. It just seems like a very small number, kind of looks nubby to me. But otherwise, I think the designs are tight.
I think you may have to make that adjustment when you throw the name on the back. Maybe yep. They had to make the number smaller to, you know, have the number or the last name. So
is this team kind of lucky, like dope locker room, like cool jerseys, getting wins? Like, is this not a highlight of the last like 10 years of Mason basketball?
I mean, it's clearly something that Mason's never done, start a season 10-1. I don't care how you know, soft you can say the schedule is. Coach L had plenty of soft schedule seasons, so what we're doing is pretty remarkable. Like, let's just like run down sort of what we've done thus far. So You know, probably the most noteworthy win thus far this season was the New Mexico State game, which happened to be the Cayman Classic finale, which they also happen to have the highest KenPom rating, or the lowest, however you want to say it. So, and that was like a huge come from behind win. We were like dog tired at that point. We had played so many games in so many days. So I think for me, like the highlight of the early part of the schedule is definitely that New Mexico State game. The game prior to that, even the Nebraska just stomping, like blowing them out by 21 points, like this Power Five team, out of the Big Ten, like that just felt like a huge flex on, you know, when you're a mid-major and you play like a Power Five squad and you blow them the F out, like, let's go. Like, that got me psyched. So I think one stat that I tweeted out earlier this week, Mason only had one five-game winning streak in the last two seasons combined. We've had two five-game winning streaks in 11 games this season. So it's a pretty nutty stat. Like, we're clearly on a roll, and as soft as the teams may be, you still have to play them. You still have to beat them, and we're doing that. So,
yeah, I think those are everybody's highlights as far as games specifically, just because, you know, you go into a tournament like that, like the last two seasons, I believe we were 0-2 and lost out early.
Or any season. We are notorious for just bombing out in those early tournaments. Like,
yeah, and so it's nice to just go and win them, not to mention, you know, I was there, and I got to see the players. They were super loose and having fun. I was talking to them, and they were just talking. They explained how much fun they were having. They just really all embraced it. Does kind of seem like the family atmosphere is really tight right now. Guys like Calixt not necessarily needing to play, you know, 20 to 30 minutes, splitting time with the freshman and buying into his role. Kyer coming off the bench last couple games, buying into his role. You know, you just kind of see a team, and Kyer said it. He basically said, you know, when I was out, my team stepped up, and he thinks they needed that. They found an identity. Scores kind of emerged in Hartwell and AJ and Green, and it just, now that he's back, he just kind of has to fit in. My question for you, Jones, is though, where does he enter the starting lineup? Is he just that kind of guy that comes off the bench and closes out the games for us just to keep it consistent, or does he come in and knock somebody off? Where are you at?
He knocks someone off. I don't care if we're 11-0 and we beat Maryland. You have to bring back your, what is he, second team All-10 or A-10 preseason team, whatever, and a senior. You know, you can't disrespect him like that.
So what does that lineup look like?
So I think he boots out.
It's tough.
Yeah, that is a tough question. And like, it's like,
the only person you can say is Oduro. I mean, he's a freshman, but then AJ's primarily paying the five.
Yeah, you kind of go a little small, but then you also have like a bunch of guys with some decent length and speed, so, you know, they can kind of play a different style. But yeah, it is a tough question, but whatever the lineup was going to be pre this injury, run with that. I don't know. That's up for Paulson to decide, but you definitely need your best player on the court.
It's tough because it's like, if Miller could come off the bench, he could dominate. Like, if he accepted that role.
But he's
just
too good. I'm sorry. Like, he's hitting threes. He's the only presence sometimes on the inside. Like, he's getting all the rebounds. I mean, we need him.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying the conversation is tough, because, you know, our centers are kind of setting the tone early, playing tough, boxing out, scoring. Calixt has started the game off with a point multiple times this season already. I just don't know, like, how you give that up. You know,
hey, Brian, but just look at us right now. We're, like, arguing where we should fit in our best player. Like what a fantastic issue to have. Like,
it's nice.
Like, oh, man, where are we going to put our best player? Like, is he going to have to come off the bench? Like, what? Like, that's what we're talking about. Like, how good is this season where we have all these freshmen playing? We have multiple injuries. Ian Boyd, we have Daddy, we had Kyer go down, we had Calixt go down. All these, and we're discussing the fact that we're 10 and we're to start our best player. Like, or does he even start?
Yeah, Daddy was getting legitimate minutes. I mean, he was playing early. He was a guy. He almost like could take Mars' job. Like, it's saying too much too early.
Take the good jobs.
But, you know, I don't know. We'll see. There's obviously a lot piled up against us right now. But we've started to get some attention around, you know, people that judge mid-majors and watch a lot of mid-major basketball, like Andy Katz. You know, what have you seen, Jonesy?
So he recently just had a top 10 list of his most surprising teams thus far. And so Mason registered at number 9, right in front of Duquesne. And so, yeah, I mean, it's I think some people are starting to take notice. It took us to, you know, start 10-1 to finally get some national, like, attention. We're still not receiving votes in the AP top 25, but I think that will come if we continue to win at least the next two games. So it just kind of showed almost how, it's kind of hard to say, like, how irrelevant the program had become. You know, the fact that we had to start 10-1 to just kind of start to get attention, like a lot of schools, if they start 10-1, they're getting votes. I mean, they're getting national recognition. So, yeah, Andy Katz recently threw us some love. A lot of the mid-major madness, you know, they come out with their top 25. We're in that top 25 of mid-majors. And so, yeah, people are starting to talk about us, but I still think people are doubters because of the schedule. And so I think, you know, you can look ahead at the UMBC game. I don't think that's going to do a lot for our credibility. You know, if we win, that's in the expectation. But TCU going on the road and beating TCU, you know, that would put, you know, obviously that would be our final out-of-conference game, but that would be the icing on the cake. I mean, if you walk out of the out-of-conference slate with 12-1 with, you know, some Power 5 wins and only losing to number 6 Maryland on the road, I mean, that's a resume builder. I mean, you don't have to do that much in conference then to even, you know, you beat a VCU or a Dayton, and then you've got a decent resume to maybe, I don't know, maybe get an at-large? I don't know.
If you win the next three, then the whole campus needs to start buzzing. Like, you know, I think we're seeing the kind of the building blocks to a foundation of success and hype. But you got to win some of these big games in the A-10. You know, like beating a team like Dayton right now is a massive win. Like, you have the opportunity to play another top 25 team within your conference. That's huge. Plus, we'll see what a Duquesne does. Do they keep winning? Do they beat teams in the A-10? Is that now all of a sudden a quality win?
And there's something to also be said about not having a bad loss. So let's say, yeah, we lose to TCU or VCU or, you know, Dayton or whatever. You know, that's fine. Like, you know, maybe we'll get our you know, big win later on at some point. But I'm just saying, as long as you're not losing a random game to, you know, George Washington or, you know, I don't know, Fordham or something, if you're not losing those games, at least you have solid, I don't know, you know, you're better than a lot of the other teams. Like, I don't know.
You also don't take yourself out of the equation. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just keep yourself, like, so if you do get two big wins in the A-10 and then you go kind of far in the A-10 tournament, now it's like, okay, an at-large makes sense. And if not, you fall back into the NIT, which every Mason fan would take.
Oh, my God. We're taking CBI, CIT. We're taking any three letters that are not, you know, sitting on a couch.
And we show up. So it's like, but the NIT, I think it's just like you'd get to play a cooler team. It'd just be one more excuse for our team to travel together.
Up to New York, yeah.
I don't know. I really hope that it happens, that we kind of just have the same record that we've had in the A-10 the last couple of years. I know it's better, but we're better.
A conversation, you know, 2 months ago that we even thought we'd be having. I mean, the notion of at-larges and NITs, that was all kind of like wishful thinking. But now we're sitting here at 10-1, like, damn, can we?
I know. I mean, why not? You know, if there was ever a time in the last 5 years to get yourself amped up, it's right now. Like, if we go beat TCU, like, Grayer's hit a three in every single game this season or something.
His numbers
pretty
are kind
well,
of nutty.
Shots.
Like, look him up. He's pretty efficient from beyond the arc. Like, we could kind of use that. But, you know, whatever. I get it.
But, you know, I think that there's just kind of – would be such an awesome win. The guys from Giant Killer, Ron and I will be there. It's kind of funny. We're actually not getting a hotel. We're sleeping on the airport and coming home. That's how hard – because it's New Year's Eve the next day. So it's like we can't – you know, you can't really come back late on New Year's Eve. So, you know, we'll be going from the game back to the airport – waking up at 4 and hopping a flight home. That's the dedication that the By Jordan Giant Killer team is bringing you this holiday season. But let's touch on one more thing, Mason, and then we're going to take a break, let our sponsors wrap at you for a second, and then we're going to get into our Mason holiday wish list. What player, what thing, what win, what anything has you the most psyched right now?
I'm going to, like, so I we've been talking a lot about, like, the differences between last year and this year, and we're kind of, like, you know, scrambling, like, racking our brains for, like, okay, well, we had Otis last year, we had Jared, we had all these, like, you know, apparently better pieces, but, like, what is it about this year, and what's that X factor? And I have to just point to AJ Wilson. Like, again, look at his numbers. He's just doing it all. He's playing out of his mind. He's putting up rebounds and double doubles and the block shots. I mean, I posted earlier this week about the, you know, AJ's top five in the nation in blocks per game, and the guys that are ahead of him, the guy in first is 7 feet tall, the other guy's 6'10", 6'10", 6'9". The average height is 6'10". I mean, it's insane. Like, and AJ's 6'7", and this little, you know, pogo stick. I mean, it's insane what he's doing. This kind of reminds me of when Marquise Moore was top, you know, 10 in rebounding, and every guy ahead of him was like 6'7" or taller. So, you know, what AJ's doing is just insane, and it's something that we've kind of always been pushing for. And, you know, he's finally getting his opportunity. He's describing himself as being unleashed, like he's out of his cage, and he's just doing all the things that we kind of expected from him. So for me, he's sort of that X factor, the most exciting thing to watch right now on the court.
Yeah, I would say the same, you know, the same. I'm going to pick someone different, but just to touch on AJ, it's just like, it's not just like blocking around the rim. It's like you have to look, no matter where you're shooting from, you have to look to see if he's around, because if he doesn't block the shot, he's going to alter your shot. And you can see offenses kind of like look for him, and all of a sudden the shot's like a floater, or it has more arc than his normal shot. And it just that, having that difference maker like that, just kind of, you know, and I've said this on a podcast multiple times, I think, but, you know, they talk about how they're rotating better, and Paulson has implemented that to help AJ be able to get out of position and go make those spectacular blocks, which leads me to my favorite thing about this season. It's going to surprise some people if you follow us for a while, but it's Dave Paulson. I'm gonna tell you why, because he's shown an ability to evolve and continue to work with the pieces that he has. But more importantly, he has changed his system and his recruiting to exactly what I've been asking for. I asked for full court. He's bringing it. And it's not just a full court that over traps or under traps. It actually stays very even. And they can even stay in it past half court and try to get a trap up there by the baseline and half court line. So, you know, it's evolving, which I love. And then, you know, he did go out and get a Duro, who I'm really high on. I think the kid can score from anywhere. He's constantly just giving different post moves. You can see he has a lot in his toolbox. He can hit the shot from the elbow. He's sound from the free throw line. He's probably one of our most composed free throw shooters. And so, you know, when I ask for, you know, big men, and then we get it, and then we have, you know, Malik Henry coming in, who has some size and blockability, and then you ask for aggressive defense and you're getting it. You know, eventually I gotta praise the guy.
I think one notable aspect from last year to this year, it's like the best players are playing now. You know, before you had to scratch your head and go, Jared's starting his 15th straight game, and he's, you know, he's been putting up some duds. Like, you had to question sort of some of the starters and who was getting minutes. This year it's like, you know, I think a lot of people are getting a rotation, but the best players seem to be on the court like most often. Like, it just is, it's making sense. So in terms of, you know, his scouting and what he's seeing in practice and who's starting, I don't really have any problems with what he's doing in terms of rosters. So
no, and you know, sometimes we question his offense, but we're getting open shots. Guys are getting to the rim, and we've even looked for a couple alley-oops at the Cayman specifically. So, you know, I'm all in. Dave Paulson, I think, is just kind of taking this season to the next level. He seems more amped on the sidelines. He seems more, like, composed.
That seat was getting a little warm. Let's get real. So it lit a little bit of a fire. and good.
So that's just a little Mason holiday recap in the midst of a kind of a hiatus of Mason basketball games. We're going to cut to a commercial and come back and talk about our Mason wish list and what we're doing for the holidays. Stay tuned. Think for a second. Ask yourself, who's your primary doctor? That's easy, right? Most people know who their doctor is, especially if you or your family member is sick. Now ask yourself, who's your primary lawyer? What's the name of that law firm? Not everyone knows these answers. But that's not a problem at all. All you need to do is call the lawyers at the law firm of Condori, Murad, and Neeson. With their main office down the street from Mason, the KMN law firm can handle all your legal needs. Business and contracts, estate planning and probate, real estate and construction, divorce, immigration, landlord-tenant matters, and more. Just give them a call at 703-385-2080 or visit them online at www.kmnlawfirm.com. Let them know the Giant Killer team sent you. Wearing my furry coat in the snow. I don't need a man, I don't need mistletoe. Up on the housetop, click, click, click. Through the chimney comes me, bitch. I'm on the same, same. I'm on the same, same. I'm on the same, same. Dashing through the snow, I'm on the same, same. I'm on the same, same.
Welcome back. This is the By George review episode. We're taking a look back at the season thus far, taking a look ahead, and we're also going to be like celebrating Christmas, right?
Every Christmas Eve, I wrote a little letter to Santa, you know, asking for something. And, you know, right now we're going to do a little Mason wish list. It's what we would write to Santa Claus to deliver to the Mason basketball team. And I'm just going to go ahead and kick us off.
Kick it. All right, well, and let's just preface by saying, like, of course, our Christmas list would include winning the entire tournament and, you know, one of our players going to the NBA. We got that. These are realistic. So proceed.
I want Santa Claus to shake JDS's hand. Come up to him, say, shake his hand, say, here is your shooting power again. Because we know he can hit shots. Not only do we know he can get shots, but he's even proven at this level to be able to get to the bucket. It's harder when you can't hit shots because now your defense is sagging off on you. But I think that he has an ability to score at multiple levels. Some people are writing him off saying he's going to transfer. I want Santa Claus to touch his hands. Jones, what's on your wish list?
Let's rewind that one. So Santa Claus has a unique ability to give powers through shaking hands? Okay.
Correct.
Fair enough. My next wish on my Christmas wish list is not only for the Mason students to show up, but to act as if it were 2006 or 7 or 8 again. And so that would mean A, filling up the lower section and kind of always be standing, and then B, make noise. Like, throw the confetti in the air when there's 10 seconds left on the shot clock, start doing the Duke, do the chants, get in their heads, do the George Mason. Like, any noise would be much needed at this point. So my wish list is for students, and not only that, but for them to show up and make noise.
I'm going to have to wish for health. You know, we've been dealing even preseason with some injury bugs, and then also with Daddy going down after your CN, he was getting like 8 to 10 minutes a game, which I don't think we expected. There was conversations of him even being eligible to start the season. So I just want to see, you know, a healthy rest of the year. Give our guys a chance to, you know, be a collective unit and to stay together the rest of the season.
My next wish, I want to receive votes. It's kind of, yeah, I'm aiming a little low, but let's get realistic. Like, are we going to be top 25? I'd love it, but I'm going to just aim just below that. And, you know, when the AP comes out with their rankings, we're getting some votes. We're getting some recognition. People are acknowledging that, hey, we're one of the best 30 teams in the nation. And so that will obviously come with wins. So I'm also kind of wishing for wins as well. So, I want some respect.
Yeah, I think that's a nice one. It's just to read about us in other forums besides our own GMU Hoops and Dick Patrick.
Right.
It's nice. You know, it's fun to get other people's opinions.
Right, and if we get like featured on a top 25 list and then you click on the Twitter profile and they have like 400 followers, yeah, maybe someone beyond that guy.
Go ahead and lock that in. Wish list of mine is to get to Saturday of the A-10 tournament. Like, you know, we've been there multiple years. We've gotten to Friday, and that's fun and all. But then, like, Saturday comes around. It's like, now I'm watching teams that aren't mine. And it would just be nice to have, like, that Saturday game. Everyone's paying a little bit more attention on the weekends. More fans can travel over the weekend. And it'd just be fun to, like, experience that vibe. Because that Saturday-Sunday A-10 experience is always
so lit. Well, you know what you get with that Saturday game? You get a going hard Friday night. And that means yeah. You're sized. And that means you get to enjoy a Friday night out in whatever city you're in. So,
if we play the later game, then I may skip that morning game, catch up on my sleep early, do something fun, and then hit the Mason game. So that's closes out my Mason wish list. You got one more.
My final wish is to see. Now you got me thinking, because there's so many things I could wish for. But this one, I know you touched on a player before, but this is one that really, like, I really want this to happen, and it's Mar. Like, I want freshman year Mar. Like, if Santa Claus can, you know, heal people with a touch, he can certainly go back in time and sprinkle his magical dust on him, because what Mar was his freshman year, if we had that now, we would be next level. I mean, it would be something that... teams, it would just be another issue for teams to focus on. We have so many problems for teams to focus on right now, because I really don't think there's a one singular guy that's really been dominating on our team. But the more problems we could have for opposing defenses, so, you know, if we have five or six guys that can score, we're suddenly lethal. So if we can get Mar back to making his free throws, being confident, making his threes, not passing up shots, and just getting that old school Mar, man, I'd love that.
You know what's crazy to think about is when he was a freshman at his smallest at college, he was the starting center. Yeah.
Versus Louisville. And we, like, competed versus them at the KFC Yum Center.
Mar at the five actually probably created mismatches and probably got him some more open jumpers. You put him out around the wing. You got faster guards guarding him. And maybe we're just seeing who he is. I still think that he can get to the bucket. Get into the paint, hit jumpers, and Paulson has praised him for playing lockdown defense, and he has closed the game out with Mar on multiple occasions. But yeah, I think that's a pretty solid wish list. I'm going to go ahead and recap mine.
Well, I just wanted to also put, like, a little footnote underneath, sort of like a PS, one final little thing that I kind of want. And so just underneath, I would just say...
So you're that greedy kid.
I am the greedy kid.
You're
like, I wanted the PS2 and all the whole games. List, all right, like, so wow. A little bit underneath, a little asterisk or something, and just say, also Darius Johnson. You know, and that's for anybody that doesn't know, XJ's brother, who's just killing it right now. If we can get him to commit, that would be a nice little Christmas gift.
I mean, we actually didn't really touch on recruits right now, and we have feelers out there with a lot of players. So make sure to check out all of our stuff at By George GMU, GMU Giant Killer. You know, it's been a lot of fun, Jonesy. We got anything else for our listeners before we go?
I guess, I don't know when we're going to be recording our next one, but either way, we've got UMC ahead of us. I know that, like, students are going to be out on Christmas break, but whoever's, like, in the Fairfax area, like, show up, support this team. They're 10-1. They could be 11-1. Let's make some noise. And that's it.
Those tickets are $10 to sit in the student section. That's a no-brainer. Bring your whole family. See a college basketball game for $10, four rows up from the court. Like, why would you not do that?
Because people are lazy. That's why.
And that's that. It's the holiday season. I'm lazy right now, getting fat off cookies and enjoying the eggnog. This has been Brian and Chris Jones.
Woo!
Bye, George.
The dream
We're
is
out.
Alive!
Good tidings to me, I better bundle up. No time's a wasting, gotta fly above. Hair blowing in the air, I'm feeling like Beyonce up in here. Oh, wearing my furry coat in the snow. I don't need a man, I don't need a man, no. Up on the house top, click, click, click. Down through the chimney comes me. Bitch, I'm on my sleigh.